You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Welcome to another episode of the Cooligans podcast, but this one, we're not live at all.
We're not, because we're just in your ears. We're just, you know, this is on-demand Cooligans.
That's right. Speaking of in your ears, did you see the photo of that girl in Thailand who had a snake in her ear?
I missed that one. I don't know.
Oh, my God. It was horrific. Damn, it was alive, dude.
I don't know what group chats you in, dog.
Bro, I'm in snake and ears group chats. It was absolutely horrific.
But today is a big day because it's been a minute since we got to connect with this man. Mm. Obviously, Everton Football Club. We're in the United States doing their thing, connecting with Toffees in the United States like me. Playing some preseason matches. They were very fun, very entertaining.
You got a connection that other Toffee fans did not get.
I agree.
We reached out to Everton. They reached out to us, and we were going back and forth.
That's the group chat I'm in.
And they were like, yo, check out this snake in this girl's ear.
I'm like, whoa, worlds are colliding.
It's everywhere, dude. Is this another girl? Get out of their ears. But no, but there was an opportunity for us to interview a player, and when the list of potential players that we could interview, well, we were asked to put that together. This person was at the top of the list.
Correct, because the homie
loves New York. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in Ibiza, swimming, going to foam parties. Not my guy. My guy is in New York.
That's right.
Getting culture. So,
Tom Davies will be joining us in just a moment.
Incredible.
Midfielder for Everton Football Club. This is our first opportunity to do a nice sit-down proper interview with a Premier League player in person.
This still blows my mind.
Yeah.
The fact that we've gotten to the point. Now, look, it's taken a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Mm-hmm. And that's just me and Christian fighting in hotel rooms.
Okay.
We'll film that. That's for the Patreon. No, but it's taken a lot of effort to get to the point where a Premier League club trusts us to speak to the player.
Crazy.
What? Do y'all know what you're doing?
We're making moves, okay?
Bro, I'm mostly talking about snakes and ears. Okay. This doesn't seem like a right move.
It feels like the wrong setup for such a big interview, but this is what it is.
But we couldn't be happier, man, and what a fun time it was. This was recorded a little while ago, but we talked about a lot of evergreen stuff, so I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. And this just goes to show the growth of the Cooligans, which would not happen if it wasn't for Gully Squad. So shouts to Gully Squad. Thank you so much for being a part of our lives. Thank you so much for joining and supporting what we do. If you do want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/soccercooligans or go to shoutstous.com, and that'll bring you right to it. But again, Gully Squad, man, you guys have had our back since day one in many different iterations. Now it's a Patreon thing. But man, when you know we were sitting in front of Tom Davies, I was like, Yo, Gully Squad got a W, bro.
For real, man. Honestly, this is, you know, we've interviewed a lot of players, a lot of people involved in the football/soccer world. And this is truly, I am an Everton fan, so that was exciting in itself. But this is also one of the probably funniest interviews you're ever going to hear with a footballer. Tom is hilarious, was on board with everything, super, super fun, great, great personality, and just did not disappoint even one bit. So I'm excited for everybody else to hear this interview.
There were moments where he was shocked at how funny we were. Like, there were moments
we're over here patting ourselves on the back.
You know, there were moments where he was like, should you guys really be the ones getting paid all this money?
Right.
But no, he was just... I don't think he was prepared. When we said we were comedians, he was like, sure you are.
Right.
But when, you know, once the interview started, I think he was like, oh, this is unlike any interview I've ever had.
Exactly.
So. And this is, it's a little bit of a feather in our cap.
Yeah. Very, very proud moment for the Cooligans, for the Cooligans fans, for everybody that supported us since day one. The whole thing.
This is for you, baby girl.
Okay? We have tears in our eyes right now. See, if you could see us.
Mama, you the real MVP.
Nah, but this is seriously a really, really proud moment and an interview we're super, super proud of. So here it is. Here's our truly. I mean, I hate to, as a comic, it's weird being like, yo, we're hilarious or whatever. But I edited this interview. I was like laughing through it. I'm like, yo, I'm hilarious, bro.
No, I'm good at this.
Nah, and Tom is truly, truly awesome. And if you want to get to know Tom Davies a little bit more, I honestly believe this is the interview for you. So here it goes. Here's our interview with Tom Davies of Everton Football Club.
Do we even have to tell you who this man is?
We definitely do not.
Wow.
But I mean, professionalism would suggest that we should.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Maybe there's like a reason for it. But honestly, I mean, this is an absolute honor for both of us.
Very much so, because we are fans of this man. We've been fans for many, many years.
Right.
I would say his professional career they're kind of parallel with us. We started our show probably around the same, maybe a year or two after he became a professional.
Right. Very different situation. He dreamed his whole life of playing for this club.
We
were like, yo, I got nothing to do during the day. You want to do a podcast?
So we grew up with him,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, basically. It's like we went to the academy as well. And look, I may not support the club he plays for, but I follow this dude on Instagram. And let me tell you, I may not support his club, but I fucks with him. You know what I mean? I like what this guy's about. I like what he does. I like what he wears.
Huge fans. I think
if I had abs, I'd wear the same shit he wears. But he wears it on Making Double XL.
Well, I think and that's a great thing, I think, to highlight. Just as far as people who are, you know, players that if it's not the club that you support,
we haven't even said his name.
We haven't said it. But player of the, if you don't support this club, this, I think a lot of
you gotta
fans
find players in those.
Yeah, this
right?
is. I think a lot of people, fans of other clubs, are a fan of
right.
this man.
Like, I hate Tottenham, but Son gets a pass, right?
Right, right.
This is even better because I like this guy, ladies and gentlemen. All the way from Everton, from Liverpool, England. Tom Davies.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thank you. Yo. Thank you for the introduction.
Yeah. We had a whole podcast before we sat in.
Thank you so much for joining. This is super cool. Like I said, we are huge, huge fans. I'm obviously the Everton fan, so yeah. I think, you know, I watch you a little bit more closely, and I've been just genuinely such a huge fan. But we're obviously in Washington, D.C. We're here. Everton is in the United States playing. They're playing two matches, one against Arsenal, one against
right.
Minnesota United.
Last time we were at an Arsenal-Everton match, it didn't end so well for me.
Okay.
I left very upset.
And I hope
there was nothing left open but chicken shops for me to drown my sorrows in fried foods.
And I hope we repeat that. But Tom,
which, by the way, if I celebrate, I also use fried foods, so I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Tom Davies, thank you so much for joining us. As far as your this is your second time in the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
Third time when I was younger. I done Dallas Corp.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Florida Corp and now this, yeah. So
okay, very
really
cool.
Enjoying it, yeah.
Okay,
but we gotta ask though, because the first time we saw you in America.
Yeah.
It was you and Dominic Calvert-Lewin just ripping up the city. It was dope. These dudes are on city bikes.
Right.
They got bell bottoms. It was wild. It was a good time. Y'all did look like you were having a good time. But then I also found out you hung out in Malibu recently.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, New York or L.A.?
Oh, that's tough.
It's tough.
I think they're two very different places, eh?
I agree.
But
one's dope and the other one's L.A. you decide. I'll let you decide.
What's more in line? What's more...
I mean, what do you decide?
I'm going to say L.A. Oh, I'm sorry to do this to you, but...
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm just more of a beach person than
really?
The city. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you just found out about the beach, man. You're from Liverpool. Ain't no beach in Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys, but I'm going to say L.A.
Okay. Is it because maybe growing up, as far as what you saw on TV, you saw more L.A. stuff, or it resonated more with you
maybe
than New York stuff?
Yeah, maybe. I don't really like Central L.A. I'd like Malibu.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
If I'm doing L.A. to New York, then I'm probably picking New York.
There we go.
I'm going for Malibu.
Yeah, we don't have. Then you gotta have to go all the way to the Hamptons or
yeah,
Jersey
I've never
Shore.
Been to Hamptons.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe
I mean,
you like it. Maybe you like it better than Malibu.
Maybe, yeah.
To me, it's a little. I mean, I'm uncomfortable around people that are too wealthy. You know what I mean?
In the Hamptons.
Yeah, I went there once. I did stand up there, and I'm like, this is not for me. This is not my place.
I did stand up in the Hamptons, but not in the summer. In the winter, when all the rich people leave, and I was like, look at all these rich people. And they're like, nope. Yeah. not us, bro.
See, at least footballers are. They may be wealthy, but they're still down to earth. They're still like. They feel closer to my level, my income.
They started out where he started, and will end because we have a podcast about football in the United States of America, as opposed to the NBA or anything else that makes money.
Tom, I wanted we had Damari Gray on the show last week, and we got to talk to him about just this this obviously challenging season. I know it was even more challenging for you dealing with injury and not being able to play as many matches as you probably wanted. But from your perspective, this relegation battle and this just roller coaster emotional season, even for the fans, for the players, what was it like for you?
Well, yeah, brought everyone together. It was a huge season for us staying in the Premier League. Not something we wanted to be doing, but it was massive. Yeah, and for me, no athlete wants to be injured. It's
right.
I don't know how you compare that to you two in stand up being injured.
Right.
I don't know, but
just losing our voice. I think it's the only. I'll be up there in a stretcher.
Somebody punching me in the mouth.
I'm in the gurney, bro. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, but for me, it was tough. Obviously, getting back into the team and seeing how hard the lads are trying, it was just tough. Yeah, tough year. But I think it definitely brought the fans, the club, the players, everyone involved in the club just closer together. So for this year, we take that in. I'm sure we'll have a great year. Yeah.
How difficult is it? We were talking about how, like, there's really nothing that would stop us from doing it unless we didn't have our voice. It's really our whole career. But the team is going through a tough situation, and you're injured.
Yeah.
How tough is that to sort of – what can you do in those moments? Do you try to inspire the players? Do you just try to get fit faster?
I think you can try and – for me, I wasn't fully directly involved with it. So with results, I sort of could go into the change room and be a bit more upbeat and bring people up. Because I hadn't played, I wasn't tired, I wasn't emotionally drained from the game.
Right.
So I tried to do that. But yeah, just looking in and wanting to help and get out there and give your all like the lads are doing. It's so hard to watch and see the team going through, suffering. You want to suffer with them, but you can't. So get back fit as soon as you can, yeah.
Right. There is something to what this year was like for me, right? I mean, I haven't been supporting Everton since I was, a child. It was a choice.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now there is a certain level of appreciation, especially, I think, from American Evertonians, because there is that choice means more, right? It's not hopping on a bandwagon. Why do you when you see that support from American fans, and especially being a kid from Liverpool, how does that make you feel?
Well, I love it, yeah. I love last year coming to Florida. I love being here again and seeing these Evertonians all over the world. And for them to choose to support Everton's, you know, me growing up, it was never a choice for me. It was just I was born into it. So for people to choose to support, it's really touching, yeah, because as you said, there's hundreds of a lot of other clubs that people can choose to support. But I think, yeah, it's great. And obviously meeting yourself and you've given me the story of how you become an Everton fan, and it just means you have that connection, and it's not like just like a whim to pick them, you know.
Right.
I think that's what it means for the supporters. Once you become part of the club, you're in there for life then, and it's like one big family, yeah.
Hey, what's up with that soup, Scouse? Y'all really eat that?
You tried it?
We have, yes.
We did.
We had it.
It took me 7 days to get
it out
of my
body. You know Pepper Mills?
It's where did you eat it? Mix.
Maze.
Maggie Maze?
Oh, yeah, on Bald Street.
Yeah.
Another place.
Yeah, we had it. Do you know Pepper Mills? Yeah. We had Pepper Mills. We had Scouse, and we chatted with her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was great.
It was a lot.
We were trying to.
I was the only one to eat the whole bowl. I thought we were supposed to eat the whole thing. They're like, "You guys hungry?" I'm like, "I'm not gonna be hungry for the next 6 days, bro." I feel like I could go work at a cobbler right now.
So there's like a couple of moments, especially that stick out to me, that I would love to – I've been, you know, dying to talk about this with you for probably a long time. But your goal against Manchester City, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But that just one of my favorite moments in my Everton fandom, because I think for a lot of people, I believe you in Premier League, you've scored 6 goals in your Premier League career, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So I hope it's accurate. But
that's right.
But that goal, definitely memorable for me. I'm sure it was for you. But the one thing I want to talk about, not only was the chopping the ball back, passing it through, receiving, getting knocked over, and then receiving the ball again and chipping it over the keeper. And then Romelu Lukaku was this close to taking that moment away from you.
Yeah, but he was.
What was that?
Strikers, that's what they do.
We used to be close before that.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah. If you reached into my Dorito bag, it'd be over.
Same thing.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like it's exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah, the crowd is roaring every time he goes into a Dorito bag.
I came up in the Dorito Academy. They're like, this kid's got it. I think he's going to go pro early, you know? I was in the U19 at 13 years old.
Just a phenom. So, no, that moment for you, what was your experience like? How do you remember it?
I think for me it's one of the best moments in my career. So, yeah, I remember I was so young and it was just like everything just kept falling in place. I squeezed through two then played it off. Actually getting knocked over made me get a bit more space to get the ball back and then being able to finish it.
Possum, you know?
Yeah. Oh, Tommy's asleep. We don't have to cover him. Oh, what a score on us. Damn, he's good. Yeah.
And then Rom trying to take it. I remember after the game, he was still trying to claim the goal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And I wanted to fight him, but he's...
Yeah,
I just left that. And then,
no, I'm glad the stats showed it correctly. Because
a lot of the guys didn't be watching on the telly after, and they were all shouting at Rom saying it's never your goal, cheering me.
Right, I can imagine there's like, players have like a bonus, a goal bonus or something. It happens in the NFL all the time. You get a certain number of yards and everything. So they're always like,
give it to this guy. Let him run at the end of the season so he could, buy another house. What happens when you get knocked over, one of the things that I love about you as a player is nothing really stops you. You know what I mean? Like you're like an engine that just keeps going. When somebody takes you out and you get back up, what's going through your head? Do you like see and hear nothing at that moment? Is it all just white noise? Or in your head, you're like, dog, get off me. You ain't nothing. Like, what's going through you in that moment? Probably in your accent, you're saying.
Dog, get off me.
Get off me, dog. In your head, you're a New Yorker. Wouldn't that be dope? You're like, we're going to get a fucking slice around here. In your head. That'd be great.
I don't know. I think it depends on who tackles you, what type of tackle it is. Usually I'm just go up and play on, like you don't think about it, you batter off, but you get the odd one that's a bit, alright, I remember that, I'm going to get you back.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
So the one thing I wanted to ask about, I want to talk about fashion a little bit, but as far as being a presence in the midfield, I wonder if, and this happens in the NBA a lot, where there's like a lot of trash talk, and you are I'm a huge fan of not only your fashion sense, your personality, just how outgoing you are.
He got that dog in him.
Yeah. But that's the thing, right? Do people question if you got that dog in you because of your fashion sense and your Instagram?
How to tie an ascot.
Do they bring that up on the pitch?
No, not really on the pitch.
Okay.
No. I mean, sometimes you get into discussions with people, but no, not really. It's a bit soft.
All right.
Are there any players that like yip the whole game?
Yeah, you get a few.
Yeah?
Who
yips the most? Like, who's like tries to get you off your game mentally?
That you'll be okay saying publicly.
You can even say from your own team if you want to keep it that way.
In training, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're all right. I'll get back to you on that one. But okay. you know who do get on my nerves? I'm trying to be better with the referees.
Really?
Yeah.
They can.
I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love them, but I had a hard time when I was first coming through.
Yeah.
Just constantly onto them.
Right.
You got to go the other way. You got to yip at them.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to do.
You going on vacation soon? Yeah. You know, how the kids
Did
doing?
You get your whistle?
Yeah. Beautiful. Is that custom? You know? You ever thought about adding diamonds to that whistle? I feel like you could pull it off. Most couldn't, but you could.
Oh, God.
You know? Yeah. What's that? Martin Dean? Yeah. What's my guy's name?
Mike Dean, yeah.
Come on. Yo, Mikey D. You know, give him a nickname.
Well, he retired, right?
Yeah. Oh, so, that he's gone.
Yeah.
I was close with Mike Dean, yeah.
Okay. The Premier League is becoming part of our lexicon and culture, to the point where you know, I've heard this a lot too, where a lot of people in England say Americans they get to see more football than they do. There's a lot of rules.
There's more football on TV in America, in the U.S. than there is.
You'll find the occasional the fan that is almost more knowledgeable about the league as a whole than even people in England.
Yeah. I think so. I think there's a lot of, like in the NBA, and it's a lot of stat-based stuff as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where in England, we have stats, but it's more about the results or the winners, really. It's not the main focus.
Yeah, in England, they say things like, do they pass the eye test?
Yeah.
In America, we're like, give me a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Get the eye test. What's the points per game? You know what I mean? How many rebounds can my guy get? Get your eye test. I don't even know if you got your vision checked yesterday.
There's something to the, like, somebody who knows that much about the sport in this country is almost seen as like, oh, this is like a nerd. This is a person like who's obsessed with the game, but it's almost like if you put them right in England and they're like, all right, this is this feels like home.
Definitely. I think with the referees too, like we even do some stuff on the referees, and you sort of, I remember when I went away with England, we'd always, because it'd be a foreign referee or whatever, we'd always find out about the referees before the game.
Yeah.
How many cards he gives, where he's like giving fouls.
Really?
How many penalties, red cards, everything like that, yeah. Going into the game, you'd sort of know what to do better, you know. It wouldn't come as a surprise if he's giving loads of free kicks.
Got it. Right.
The game play on. So, yeah, it's interesting.
And you could play. You could play to that, too.
Yeah, exactly. Because
you
That's
know
why.
They love to give free kicks. You'd be like, ref, that was a free kick. No?
Yeah.
And he's like, we haven't started the game yet. You're like, all right, just keeping you on your toes, buddy. You know? What a nice whistle you got. You go through the whole thing.
Were the referees like NBA and we had the baseball last night? They're very strict, no? Is it different? Or?
Baseball, yes, except the guy behind the catcher.
Okay.
So what you're talking about, we're like, okay, this guy calls a lot of, he gives a lot of yellows and stuff. You'll know he likes the strike, like the box where the ball's coming in, balls and strikes. He calls it tight. If it's too close to the body, he'll call that a ball.
Okay.
Things like that. Like, you'll know what kind. But throughout the game, like, I don't know if you know anything about boxing. Like, you know how, like, some boxers will throw a couple jabs just to see how the other person reacts?
Yeah.
That's the first few innings of baseball for most. Okay. The catcher and the pitcher are, like, testing the official behind the catcher to see, like, is he going to call this a ball? Is he going to call this a strike? Do they care if I have something shiny on me? Sometimes you're not allowed to have that. There's a lot of gamesmanship that goes back and forth.
I like that.
I would say, baseball is probably the one sport, as far as the referees or umpires, have this similar amount of history as football. Okay. I mean, baseball's been around for almost the same amount of time as football in England. So I do want to talk about fashion a little bit.
Should we talk about our fashion?
We could.
Can we get a rating?
Yeah. So I don't know. This happens. You see this NBA, WNBA, NWSL is doing this a lot. Where there's a
like
culture
tunnel, right?
Of arriving to.
Oh, I've seen it,
yeah.
I like that stuff.
Okay. Right, it's dope, right?
Yeah, it's
so
cool.
I love it. So we got to do that for Gotham FC, which is the NWSL team.
The women's team in New York.
Right.
We hosted Latinx Night.
Right.
Okay. And they asked us to take part. And I don't know if they have a name for it, like a fit check catwalk.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I said I was going to wear a suit. Wait till you see it.
Wait till you see it.
He pointed and he was like, I think I'm going to take this back.
This is what we decided to wear. I'll show you mine first.
Let me
zoom in here.
Yeah, it's nice.
This is what I chose to rock.
Yeah, love it.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me show mine from the video.
Okay.
And there's my suit.
Yeah.
It's a track suit.
It's a track suit.
It's allowed.
That's good.
Right?
Look, yeah, yeah.
I tied it. First of all, I hit the jail squat. I hit the hip-hop squat.
So you just broke out?
First of all, my knees sounded like I stepped on bubble wrap. but also in the sneakers, the bubbles in the sneakers match the track suit.
Very nice, yeah.
Come on, man. Attention to detail.
Say, look at this. Come on.
Okay, so we're trying our best, but you are definitely bolder than we are when it comes to fashion choices. Where did that start? Are you particularly inspired by anybody? Because
and also, who won the fit check? We got to get the fit check between the two of us in those photos you saw.
Who won?
I mean, who had a better fit between him and I in those pictures/video?
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. No.
Stick with your own, don't you?
All right. Absolutely. We're going to edit that out. We're going to go back to his point. All right. So there's a conspiracy against me. Fair enough.
So what? Yeah. Where did that begin? Is there any particular moment in time where you're like, you know what? I'm gonna try things out. Because I'll say this before you even answer. When I was maybe in my early 20s, I didn't really focus on fashion that much as a teenager. And then early 20s, I'm like, I'm going to take risks. I'm going to do things. I'm not going to do it. So I decided once I was going to wear sunglasses indoors. I thought this is who I am, right, you know? Yeah. Tried it. Not for me.
Turns out you can't be the head of a salsa group now. There goes your mambo days, bro. So sunglasses inside.
Trial and error. You have to see what works for you. But so that was my, you know, story into fashion. But what happened with you?
I don't know. I guess I've got an older brother. He was always cool. So I'd always look up to him, and I don't know, he'd wear some interesting stuff and I'd want to be a bit like him, you know, and then watch music videos of singers wherever they want to wear. And then I wanted to be sort of like that, kind of a cool kid, you know, and I just found my own style and sort of went with it.
Yeah. Well, footballers want to be rock stars. Rock stars want to be footballers. It kind of all makes sense.
Similar thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously you get to a certain age where you have other interests in your life and you're going to start impressing them.
Yeah.
Okay. And another thing I want to ask about is you rocked the mustache for a while.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Right. And
looking like a detective.
Yeah.
I like
needed the mock.
Yeah.
In the pot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where were you yesterday? You know, like, could you stop?
The 48-hour thing.
Yeah, 48 hours, bro. Me and you, buddy cop movie.
Would be a good
Are you kidding me? You kicking the two-footing doors in? I got donuts and coffee that are spilling everywhere. Why are we trying to solve the crime?
It's the old good cop, fat cop.
Buddy, since the beginning of time, it's a good pairing.
But that you know, as someone who is not blessed with being able to grow a mustache of any kind of that would impress anybody, what was that experience like? Because I feel like sometimes when you change your facial hair, the way people
carry yourself different,
the way people perceive you is also
mustache Tom is different than no mustache Tom.
Yeah, and I have a beard sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And every time I shave it off, I get Dom always says I look like a completely different person. Yeah. I feel first few days I'm a bit like, I shouldn't have done this. And then you just grow into it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But the mustache started, I remember Leighton Baines.
Right.
He told me to do it at first. I was a bit skeptical. So I just went with it to sort of give him a laugh.
Right.
A few days went past and I just kept it, yeah.
You were like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
You're looking in the mirror.
I was that
like,
guy, yeah.
This is Tom, dude. Yeah. This happens every once in a while. Every once in a while, I'll trim it down or something. But I've had this beard for like 15 years now.
Yeah.
But one time I was filming something. I got booked for a gig and I had to shave.
Yeah.
And the space between my nose and my upper lip felt like I could play a game of football on
there. Yeah, no, to be
I'm just like, this isn't my face. Something's wrong with my face. The hair stretched above my lip. I was freaking out. Did the same thing happen to you when you shaved?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, you're like, ah! You're looking at your own face.
It's like, who's stopped tickling the top of my head?
Bro, it's like you think it's like this much space between your nose and your top lip.
Okay.
I do want to ask though, you're really big into charity.
Yep.
Is that something that started from when you were young? Or is that something that as you've grown and you've, you know, now sort of put yourself in a place where maybe you were like, damn, I never thought I'd be in this situation, whether financially or in life.
Yeah.
Now you want to give back. What started that?
I think being from Liverpool, it's a place where we look out for our own, really. And I remember my nan was very, whenever we'd go into town and there'd be someone on the street, she'd give them some money or she'd get them some food. And without realizing, I think that was the like initial ingraining in my brain that I had to do that. That was how I was brought up. And then as I got older, I'm in a privileged position where my voice actually reaches out to a lot of people. So I felt like it was necessary for me to speak on these things and get involved. Yeah. And I actually love doing the work and meeting all the people from the city and all the people that come to help. And yeah, it sort of fulfills the soul too, which is really important in life.
Yeah. And it does feel like there is this very cyclical kind of experience as far as for Everton fans where, you know, you are a fan of the club and then you end up playing for the club. And then you, as a child, I'm sure you experienced meeting maybe one of the players or something, yeah. And you remember that feeling, and to be able to give that to another child behind you, it must be really very, very nice.
Yeah, it is. I can remember it'd be one day a year where we got to train with the first team.
Yeah.
So all the first team players would come down to the academy and we'd play with them for the day. It'd just be stupid games and football. But I remember that always being like a big day in the year for like the younger kids, and
right.
I got to do with them when I got into the first team, and I wasn't one of the kids, I was one of the players.
Yeah.
I remember loving it just as much as a player as I did as a kid.
Yeah.
Was just given that experience.
Just trying to touch Marouane Fellaini's hair.
Tom Davies, this is truly an absolute honor for us. This is so cool. Like we said, we are genuinely huge fans of you and, you know, on the pitch, off the pitch. You're just a great dude. And I know it's, it's a thing Evertonians and even fans of other clubs, I think, can agree with as well.
Thank you very much. Thank
no
you
one both. Can hate you.
Oh, you know what? Before we go, I did want to give you something.
I don't even know what this is, so this is impressive.
Neither do I.
Imagine it's a Juicy Lucy. Oh, my God. You're going to split it with me. I took a bite out of it.
So we always call ourselves, in New York, they say with something gully. Like when someone
you ever heard the term gully?
When you're gully.
I think for you guys, it's like an alleyway, right?
Right.
A gully.
But to be gully in New York is just like a very, you know, keeping it real, being yourself.
Keeping it as we call it a buck, like always being okay. Always saying what's
book,
on your mind.
A band.
Yeah.
So we put it on our shirt that says,
oh, nice.
Gully is right on there, has the Cooligans logo. And then there's a little jock tag here. This is a fruit bowl. Okay. I don't know if you know the player Dax McCarty. He plays for Nashville SC right now.
He used to play for the men's national
team. Yeah, also a defensive mid as well. He played for the U.S. Men's national team. But he got married early on when we started our show. We've accidentally found his wedding registry online and just randomly sent him a fruit bowl.
But we thought it was like a fruit bowl for the middle of the table. It was the cheapest thing on his wedding registry. It turns out it was like one of 16 to eat fruit out of. So it's like a cereal bowl. Celebrations for you and your lady,
congratulations.
Bro. I guess you guys can huddle over it and share your Rice Krispies.
So there's a story behind this. So this is the gully shirt, and we wanted to give you one. So this is
thank you very much.
This is for you. Absolutely. Tons of respect for you.
Thank
much appreciated. You much. So if you want to.
You can see the little tag on it. It's brand new.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, put it on Instagram for a rate fit or whatever, feel free.
Love you both.
Thank you so much.
Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Absolute honor having
Thanks.
You. Tom Davies, bro.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.